My name is Russell Jackman, and today we are covering ethical issues of pro bono representation, help the profession, help others. Let me give a quick introduction about who I am. My name is Russell Jackman, and I'm speaking today for Esquire MCLE, but I've been providing MCLE lectures and information for people in California and across the United States for a number of years. And I'm here to talk today about pro bono representation, not just because it's important for the profession itself, but it's an important subject for me. And it's something that I believe in strongly and something that I also participate in myself. I am mostly a legal technology consultant by trade, not just doing these MCLEs. And I find that by my own self, when I am asked to do pro bono work, a lot of it isn't always in a legal capacity, as an attorney, but as a lecturer for seniors and people who are not so computer literate. I do a lot of help for them for free by giving lectures and advice to people who need help computer-wise and need advice on how to deal with things. Like, for instance, I spoke just about a month ago for a place called Vivalon in Marin County in San Rafael, that I spoke to seniors about what to do in regards to their technology when they are trying to prepare a will and making sure that their electronic information and passwords are all taken care of by the time they pass away, or else people won't be able to access their information. So there's a lot that you can do pro bono wise outside the box. A lot of people think that to do pro bono representation means that you just have to represent somebody as an attorney for free in court. And there's a lot more you can do pro bono wise if you are creative and extend yourself a little bit to look around to see what opportunities are presented to you in the community, that you can be there and help provide that kind of help when needed. So again, it isn't always just taking somebody, a challenging client and taking them all the way to the Supreme Court. There are other ways you can help too. And that's kind of what this lecture is all about. So the definition of pro bono representation comes from ABA Model 6.1, and it establishes the professional responsibility to provide pro bono service. And it says that every lawyer has a professional responsibility to provide legal services to those who are unable to pay. A lawyer should aspire to render at least 50 hours of pro bono public legal services per year. In fulfilling this responsibility, the lawyer should A, provide a substantial majority of the 50 hours of legal services without fee or expectation of fee. Two, and one, the first one is person of limited means, or two, charitable, religious, civic, community, governmental, and educational organizations in matters which are designed primarily to address the needs of persons of limited means, and provide any additional services through the delivery of legal services at no fee or sustainably reduced fee to individuals, groups, organizations seeking to secure or protect civil rights, civil liberties, or public rights, or charitable, religious, civic, community, governmental, and educational organizations in matter of furtherance of their organizational purposes, or the payment of standard legal fees would significantly deplete the organization's economic resources or would be otherwise inappropriate. So let's go and dissect that. 1.6b1, which is the delivery of legal services at no fees or sustainably reduced fee to individuals, groups, organizations seeking to secure or protect civil rights, civil liberties, public rights, or charitable, religious, civic, community, and governmental educational organizations in matter of furtherance of their organizational purposes. So, where the payment of legal fees significantly deplete the organization's economic resources. So what they're saying here is that they are looking for, they're trying to give a broad enough definition to cover the motivation that you would have as an attorney to provide pro bono legal services or something that would help the secure those civil rights, the civil liberties, the public rights. So they're trying to leave the options open to the attorney to be creative by being that open about it. They don't want to just pigeonhole people into saying, well, all you're going to have to just represent drunk drivers that can't afford to, pay for an attorney, and you got to help divorce cases all the entire time. Although there's a huge demand for that, and obviously there's a lot of people that do need help in that area. If it's something that just doesn't work for you, or you just don't have the skills to do it, or it's personally troublesome, it gives you moral trepidation to do those sort of things. And there's certainly a lot of attorneys that just don't want to do that kind of stuff. I mean, I can understand, especially if you don't have a criminal background. You don't work in the criminal area. Maybe because of your own personal life, the idea of doing a divorce case is something that is not really your, cup of tea. I mean, a lot of people don't want to work with children or children's causes. It's okay, if you can find something where your skills are going to be used to help take the burden off of an organization, and instead of them having to hire an attorney, give them the advice they need, to be able to solve particular legal issues. So, in other words, helping an organization through legal paperwork, through filing certain items that are necessary for them, being able to give advice on how they can handle situations within their labor, organizational labor needs, or something that would help them function more professionally, things like corporation advice and that sort of corporate advice as far as like structure goes, or managing their legal matters when it comes to dealing with their personnel. That can all alleviate the overall burden that organizations that you care about are dealing with. That can help alleviate their problems, and that will count as pro bono representation. They also mention the delivery of legal services at a substantially reduced fee to persons of limited means, or participation in activities from proving the law, the legal system, or the legal profession. In addition, the lawyer should voluntarily contribute financial support to organizations that provide legal services to persons of limited means. So they kind of give an out for attorneys that are extremely busy and don't have that ability to spend the time with pro bono services to voluntarily contribute financial support to organizations to provide legal services. And the one thing is that the suggested 50 hours a year is not necessarily tracked by the state bar. at least in California, it's not. They don't make you keep track of those pro bono hours and submit those on a yearly or four-year basis like your MCLE requirements. So there is a little bit of a difference there, and there isn't the kind of enforcement in pro bono work as there is, say, for things like MCLE. Now, a definition of what qualifies as pro bono and what doesn't provide pro bono. This is a list of things that do not qualify as pro bono, and that's providing free assistance to friends or relatives who are not indigent. That's not considered pro bono. Providing free legal assistance to charitable, community, governmental, or educational needs in matters that are not designated to primarily address the needs of persons or limited means, where the organization's economic resources would not be significantly depleted if it were to pay standard legal fees, is not pro bono. If a paying client becomes unable to pay for legal services, and that bad debt does not count as pro bono, as the attorney expected compensation from the outset of the representation. And then services for pay, even if identified as affordable, and services provided on a sliding fee scale to persons of low and moderate income, does not qualify as pro bono representation. I mean, when they're talking severely reduced legal fees, they're looking at something that's more than half of what your normal fees are charged. And really, they're looking for, you know, something along lines of, let's say you charge $400 an hour, you know, you'd be charging more like $50 an hour. That would really significantly show pro bono representation of somebody. And even less, maybe, if they have needs that are greater and have less ability to pay than $50 an hour. If they make, you know, $15 an hour, $17 an hour, maybe $20 an hour, you may have to lower your fees even more than that to get the credit for pro bono. But again, there isn't somebody mostly policing that. You know, it also has to be up to yourself and what you can consider as a something that you can afford to contribute as well. But if you are trying to claim it and trying to show the community that you are providing those kind of services, then you really can't, you know, take $50 off your rate and say that entire time that you're working is going to be pro bono. Or if you're trying to, I think the bigger deal is when somebody is expected to pay for legal services from the outset, and then they don't pay the attorney. That's not considered pro bono because you were expecting to get money. If it's simply bad debt that you're counting it as, then it's not really. You can't go retroactively and provide pro bono, is what they're saying, is that if you have to be intending to provide pro bono services from the outset. And if you don't, and it's then considered bad debt, then it doesn't turn itself suddenly into pro bono service. But there are a full range of activities that you can provide, as I was saying before. There's individual and class representation, there's provision of legal advice, there's legislative lobbying, there's administrative rulemaking, there's the provision of free training or mentoring to those who represent persons of limited means. I do a lot of the last part myself, which is providing free training or mentoring to those who represent persons of limited means. I give them a lot of technological advice and help them manage their computers so that they're able to then help the people that they need that are people who have limited means, a lot of them seniors, to be able to handle what they need to do to you know, plan out their estate and their will and be in communication with their attorneys and their families to make sure that everything is set up correctly. you know, the time comes, they their will is read or their trust is managed. So that's the kind of thing that I do. But, you know, there's a lot, again, you can see on this list, there's a pretty wide range of things that would be able to provide pro bono definition, especially in the area of administrative rulemaking and provision of legal advice, so that you don't have to necessarily represent somebody, but you can help them with their pro bono in pro per application and get them started, or at least give them kind of like the training wheels they need to be able to represent themselves. And that's one thing that a lot of attorneys forget about, or they don't really think about when they do pro bono representation, is that you can have these clients represent themselves in pro per, so you're not on the hook of having to appear for court dates and not having to deal with the deadlines necessarily, you know, and all of those things that are, you know, difficult for attorneys to do sometimes, but still get the clients the pro bono representation they need to get the, you know, to make sure their paperwork is right, they know what to say in front of a judge, they know what laws they're either, you know, being accused of breaking or ones that they want to be on their side to help them, whatever their case is. So, you know, that's what you know, and we all know a lot. When we went to law school, we learned a lot of different laws that can help people that don't have the money or the means to be able to help themselves. And so, you know, reach back into some of that training that you learned from law school, or that you've learned out in the field that might be able to help people that need advice in this area. So factors that would enable more attorneys to provide pro bono legal services. Here's kind of a breakdown from a few years ago of a poll that was made by Esquire Solutions. And it said that 24% felt that there'd be a better selection of pro bono cases that match my interests. Okay, 20% felt that a lower billable hour requirement would be a better thing, that maybe, you know, you'd still be able to do it, but 50 hours maybe too much. Better access to pro bono cases was 16%, because a lot of people just don't know where to find pro bono cases, and we'll discuss that a little bit later. And then a larger law firm pro bono budget. Now, for bigger firms, they often set aside money so that attorneys can do pro bono cases and still get paid their hourly rate, but they get paid money that will help reduce the value of the expense of lowering their hourly rate, so that the attorney isn't taking a complete loss of that, which is where sometimes firms have an advantage over solos and small attorneys, in that it's not, there's other attorneys that can contribute their overall financial weight to subsidize what, when other attorneys are doing pro bono work. And that's something that it's great that larger firms can aspire to that. Harder for smaller firms to do that, because you're the only, you know, especially when you're a solo, then the time that you miss is time that you can't make up. Nobody else makes up for you. So, but there's still ways that you can help out, not necessarily, you know, on a Monday through Friday basis, but maybe, you know, on the weekends, in the evenings, when you have a little bit of extra time, or, you know, times where you have some downtime where you can be a contributor to these sort of things without necessarily distracting from your everyday practice. And then 28% were other miscellaneous reasons. So it's there's kind of a
Esquire CLE's first verification code is APE. APE. All lowercase. APE. Please take a moment, write this down. Esquire CLE's first verification code is APE. A APE. All lowercase. APE. Please take a moment, write this down.
Balance between those five different categories there of what attorneys are looking for. But the legal services can be rendered to individuals, to organizations such as homeless shelters, battered women's centers, food pantries that serve those with limited means. And the term governmental organizations includes, but are not limited to, public protection programs and sections of governmental or public sector agencies. So, if you're looking for a cause, things like governmental groups, either for the federal government or for your state and county, might be something that everybody's got a cause somewhere. And you have to be a little creative and think to yourself, what is important to you? What touches you? What are things that matter to you? If you're a person that has children, then maybe, if you have a situation with, son has autism. And so helping causes that provide either education or that provide representation for autistic people might be something that, if you can help out other people who have those issues, might wind up helping your family as well at some time. You may learn some things and also be in a position to help out, someone who would then, be a role model to your family of, how you can rise above a particular disability or a condition or a challenge that the these people would have to themselves. Later you can say, well, to your son, well, I helped somebody who also had autism at one time, and they were having this problem, and they were able to, with my help, solve it, and now looks like you have a similar problem. Maybe this would be something we can do together to be able to solve that. So what I'm saying is the things that you do in pro bono have a way of working themselves back into your life when you work with causes that are more central to your being and things that matter, to you personally. It can still wind up being a big plus when you do pro bono that can touch your own life outside of what you do, for the organization or for that group. Services rendered cannot be considered pro bono, again, if an anticipated fee is collected, but the award of statutory lawyer's fees in a case where the originally accepted as pro bono is allowed. So, in other words, you can get statutory lawyer's fees, even in a pro bono matter, and it can be awarded by a court. That would still be considered pro bono because the statutory fees are built in, and that's not something that gives the kind of the floor of what is considered pro bono or not. If you're charging more than the statutory fees, you're not going to be able to count it as pro bono. But if you get it up to what the statutory fees are allowed by law, then that still could be considered pro bono. Of course, that means those fees are uncollected. So you're still not going to get the money, but you'll get the credit for, you'll at least get the credit for the statutory fees if you need to collect on that. Lawyers agreed to receive a modest fee for furnishing legal advice to persons of limited means. Participation in judiciary programs, acceptance of court appointments in which fees are substantially lower below a lawyer's usual rate is considered pro bono. And the system values lawyers engage in activities that improve the law, the legal system, and legal profession. So, for instance, serving on bar association committees, serving on boards of pro bono or legal services or programs, taking part in law day activities, and your local bar association will always have law days during the year where you can provide your legal advice just for the day on varying subjects, landlord-tenant, divorce, criminal, civil. You just, you know, go and submit for the day, and you'll get credit for that day of having done, provided pro bono hours during the day that you provide that law day activity. And then when you're done for the day, you can just sign out and say, okay, I don't want to, you're not representing that client, you know, on an ongoing basis. You're just providing one day's worth of service. And of course, on my own thing, I highlighted acting as a continuing legal education instructor. That's something that I've done quite a while, quite a bit in my time. And it does provide, you know, information to the community, just like I'm doing right now with you today for this particular subject. A mediator or an arbitrator and engaging in legislative lobbying to improve the law, the legal system, or the profession are few examples of the many activities considered to be pro bono. So being a mediator or arbitrator means you don't actually represent either side, and so that might be more attractive because you're not particularly having to represent one client or their matters or their issues. You can just listen to the particular issue at hand and give attempted mediation or arbitrating it. And one thing I can say is that the arbitration situation is in dire need of pro bono representation. It's usually a very expensive process. The courts would like to see more arbitration done in general, because the arbitration, when it's done in general, helps lower the burden on the courts for people to have to go to court itself and clog up the system. So they would like to see more mediation arbitration done as a pro bono thing provided by attorneys. It's just a big question as to whether or not attorneys want to participate in that. But there's always a demand for that. So if you are thinking, you know, about you looking for ideas or ways to be part of the pro bono scene and you don't necessarily want to take on a client, mediation arbitration is a good option for you, I believe. There may be times when it's not feasible for a lawyer to engage in pro bono services. At such time, a lawyer may discharge the pro bono responsibility by providing financial support to organizations providing free legal services to persons of limited means. Again, it's kind of a way to pay, not play, as a way to meet those obligations. And obviously the court would rather see, and the bar organizations would rather see people, lawyers getting their hands dirty rather than just throwing money at the problem, but they'll take it because they do know that if these organizations receive funds that they need, then they can provide legal services themselves to people of limited means. So certainly like divorce clinics or things for immigrants, legal services for immigrants or people who are disabled, then that's going to at least help solve legal problems. It doesn't give the actual means to solve those things, but money can solve a lot of things. So by making those contributions and doing them on a regular basis, it's I think the bar organizations would rather see, you know, a continuing commitment to one organization by a particular, you know, attorney or law office than spreading it around to, you know, a lot of different ones all the time. But they'll accept it no matter what. But it's still, I think it's good if you can have a continuing relationship with a group or organization. I think the benefit is more towards you as the attorney, as they see you in the community as helping out one specific cause, especially one that's, say, you know, central to your law firm. Obviously, if you're a divorce attorney or you do dissolutions, you know, in the community, and then you are helping people of limited means with your financial and or, you know, real contributions, real-time contributions to the lower echelons of your community, that is something that will hopefully then reflect within the community and say, this person cares about the family law situation of County XYZ, Marin County, say. And that word of mouth and that public perception of your firm or your law office, that you're there for the community, not just when people have money to hand you, but you're there to help the people that are all part of it, including the lowest levels. That, I think, reflects on you and makes you a stronger, more valued member of the business community, and not just a lawyer that's, you know, part of a big, huge firm that you know, is headquartered outside of that particular city's area and doesn't have any real connection to the community and is just there to make a profit off of everyone. That's, you just don't want that perception that you're there as an attorney just to make a profit off of people, and you don't care if the people that you work with live or die as long as they pay you. That's, unfortunately, the image of a lot of attorneys overall, and something that pro bono tries very hard to reverse. I'm not making up anything that attorneys don't have the greatest reputation among the business community or the regular community. You know, just that lawyers have always had a bad reputation as far as I know. And pro bono is the best way to try to counter that, especially on a personal basis, because there's nothing you can do to deal with bad attorneys. If there are bad attorneys out there, and there are bad attorneys out there, you're never going to be able to change people's minds if they've had that experience with a bad attorney, that attorneys are hard to deal with. But if they see your reputation of being there and giving and not just being an attorney that just sues people all the time, and they see that you're doing things that touch them personally because it's a cause they believe in as well, then that makes you much more human to the client, the potential client. And it may turn out to be, in a way, like inadvertent, you know, out of the way advertising to show that you're a nice person and that you're somebody that would, when people do have the money to hire, they would want to hire you, okay? Because they can see that you care about things other than just money. That matters to a lot of people. Now, such financial support should be reasonably equivalent to the value of the hours of the service that would have otherwise been provided. So if you're going to contribute $5, then don't you can't claim an hour of pro bono for a $5 contribution. It has to be, if you're charging $4.50 an hour, you probably have to make a contribution of, you know, $300-$400 to have that equivalent out to about the same of what you charge per hour, or it won't really be looked at so much as pro bono representation. In Florida, for example, in the early 1990s, the state Supreme Court ruled that Florida attorneys should aspire to perform 20 hours of pro bono work annually. And in lieu of service, attorneys are asked to contribute at least $350 to a legal aid program. So you can see that value, the 50-hour requirement for Florida is really only 20 hours. Although the aspirational goal is not mandatory, Florida attorneys are required to report their pro bono hours and or contributions. Since the court's ruling, the number of attorneys licensed in Florida has grown, but the number of hours donated is fairly unchanged. The legal community in Jacksonville always has been generous with the volunteer times and fundraising efforts. For instance, they're extremely grateful to people who provide advice, brief services, representation, mentorship, and financial contributions on behalf of their low-income residents. Just so that you know, this has gone up in the last few years, but the data from 2018 for the report on 20 pro bono institute law firm challenge showed that there were 5,070,533 pro bono hours reported by 128 firms in 2018. 76.5% of attorneys engaged in pro bono work, and 3.8 of total billable hours was pro bono work of their annual hours that they work. So it's still, when you think, oh well, attorneys would never want to be honest and provide that sort of thing. I mean, 77% provide pro bono. That's still not 100%, and that's one thing that the bar associations are really concerned about, is we'd like to see that number be higher than that, but it's still not an insignificant number of attorneys providing pro bono representation. And during this exceptional time in our history, when many people have been negatively impacted by COVID-19 pandemic, the financial meltdown that occurred after that, people may have been ineligible for services at the beginning of COVID, but now are facing things like unemployment, eviction, foreclosure, and bankruptcy as those protections go away or were never offered in the first place. And that creates a much greater need for pro bono representation, because those people obviously are in financial distress, which is what is causing their legal problems. So the need for pro bono is still tremendous. For low-income people, those who have unmet legal needs, those are well documented. Volunteer attorneys who work with legal services have the ability to help bridge that gap. Legal services programs reach out to low-income communities to let them know about what help's available. Social service agencies refer to those in need of legal service offices. Most low-income residents will not contact a private attorney to ask for pro bono help. They will contact a legal services agency. So your best bet is to find one, and usually through the bar, if you haven't been providing pro bono services. Now, big firms have associated with causes already, and so those things are usually kind of built into the firm itself, and it's easy to find where those pro bono hours can be picked up. But if you're on your own and trying to find pro bono hours, try contacting the State Bar Association. They can start directing you, especially the special interest committees that they have are usually all connected with pro bono causes that can allow you to provide your services pro bono. According to the American Bar Association, at least 40% of low-income and moderate-income households experience a legal problem each year. Yet studies show the collective civil legal aid effort meets only 20% of the need. So even though nearly 80% of the attorneys are providing pro bono services, it's only meeting 20% of the legal need. So this chart here shows that the time the attorneys have spent doing pro bono work for individuals and families in Charlotte is that 9 months, 35 weeks, 246 days, or 5,911 hours. So it's a lot of hours, but the need still is there. It's overwhelming. And that's why, you know, this lecture's hopefully reaching you folks and sparking some interest and some ideas of how pro bono could be provided by you. So let's talk about some examples of people who have provided pro bono and what their experience has been. So for instance, an example is Cindy Watterson, who is an attorney who specializes in special needs law and volunteers her time to take pro bono limited conservatorship cases, which are specifically protective probate proceedings for individuals diagnosed with developmental disabilities. With the help of her Spanish-speaking paralegal, Claudia Kennedy, Watterson takes on...
Esquire CLE's second verification code is ELF, E-L-F, all lowercase, ELF. Please take a moment and write this down. Esquire CLE's second verification code is ELF, E-L-F, all lowercase, ELF. Please take a moment and write this down.
As many Spanish-speaking cases as she can take because of the difficulty of placing such cases. Work involves meeting with families to determine their needs, drafting petitions and related pleadings required for conservatorship in probate court, and representing the client in court. We talked to Watterson about her volunteer work with the PLC. She said, "Why did you decide to volunteer on these cases?" And her reply was, "My firm practices in the area of special needs law. This involves advocacy for individuals who are diagnosed with developmental disabilities, autism, mental retardation, cerebral palsy, and epilepsy, and also with their families. My partner, Pat Huth, and I are contract attorneys for the regional centers, having actually worked on the staff of the Los Angeles regional centers. Because of our background, I feel compelled to accept as many limited conservatorships from PLCs as we can, especially those cases that involve unusual or difficult issues where the families would have difficulty navigating through probate court alone. Do you find the work rewarding? We are very blessed to work in the area of special needs. My partner and I, as well as our staff, are committed to assigning families. All of our families experience unique challenges surrounding their child's disability as they struggle every day to navigate the maze of systems and services necessary to ensure that their child lives a full life. It is very rewarding for me personally when I'm able to lead them through this process. Would you recommend other attorneys volunteering for the Public Law Center, that's PLC? I feel strongly that all attorneys should offer pro bono services. When I first graduated from law school, Barr recommended that I offer at least 50 hours of pro bono service every year. Can't say that I meet that goal every year, but by volunteering for the Public Law Center and other pro bono agencies, I'm able to work towards that goal. My personal goal is to maintain a minimum of one pro bono active case at all times. I urge all attorneys to volunteer their services. It's vitally important for our communities that we provide legal services to the underserved, but it's equally important to ourselves as professionals to pay it forward. What is your impression of the work that PLC does to help the community? PLC does an amazing job providing outreach and legal services to our community, and I'm always impressed by the quality of the intake of documentation when I receive a new case. Orange County is very lucky to have this organization as an advocate. If you're interested in taking on a conservator case, see the Public Law Center's most recent case list or contact Senior Lead Attorney Leslie Lindgren if you happen to be in Orange County and are interested in this sort of work. So another instance, an example was her name has changed here, is Ruby was taken into the legal custody of the Louisiana Department of Children and Family Services due to dependency. Her mother's parental rights had been terminated, and her father was incarcerated on charges, which he denied and were later dropped. Because she had no legal caretaker, the state requested legal custody place Ruby in a home of a relative. And after her father was released from jail, the project attorney representing Ruby successfully negotiated with the district attorney to continuance of the child in need of care adjudication, give the father time to restore utilities in his home so that Ruby and her father would not be burdened with the legal and social stigma of a child welfare case. So that's another example of how pro bono can be of service. Midland attorney recognized for pro bono legal services, Victoria Ritter, was recognized for the second year in a row in 2020 by the Access to Justice Committee of the State Bar of Michigan for her work to support access to justice efforts by providing pro bono legal services to low-income individuals and families. Cole's name was listed in the 2020 Lawyer Helps Pro Bono Honor Roll, which was published by the State Bar of Michigan and recognizes individual attorneys, solo practitioners, law firms, and corporations that provided 30, 50, or 100 plus hours of qualifying pro bono services in 2019. And Angela provided a combination of 581 pro bono and low bono hours between her private practice as an attorney through Affordable Legal Care, a nonprofit law firm founded by Cole that serves people who do not qualify for free legal assistance through federal programs or court-appointed attorneys and who earn too little to afford to pay the full price of an attorney. So when people say 50 hours is too much, here's an example of an attorney that provided 581 pro bono hours. So it can be done. Cole served 98 individuals or families and 5 organizations that serve low-income individuals with 498 reduced hourly fees and 83 free hours during 2019. I have such a grateful heart for our community, organizations, and individuals and families who donated or referred clients to Affordable Legal Care, Cole said. I could not have done this without each and every one of them or the board members of Affordable Legal Care. It was because of their support, so many people and families had access to Affordable Care services. Cole has well-rounded experience with the court system, private practice, and the corporate world. She'd spent more than 20 years in the legal field, and most of it in a leadership or management role. She serves as a corporate attorney with global responsibilities, private practice attorney, magistrate, attorney referee, and judicial law clerk. She is known statewide as a child advocate and is active in the community as a volunteer with both nonprofit and civic organizations. So just because you dedicate a bunch of hours to pro bono doesn't mean that nobody recognizes it. In this instance, Cole has become a pillar in the community because of all the things that she's done. And it's something that if you get involved, you might find yourself being able to do that as well. So now that we've brought up all these things, the question is how to get involved. No matter where you live or work, there's a pro bono program that will be of interest to you and that needs your help. You can visit the National Pro Bono Volunteer Opportunities Guide on the web. If your state or local bar association has a pro bono or committee program that needs your assistance, you can find more by going to your state bar website, and there's usually a pro bono section that you can get to relatively easily. There are legal aid and legal services providers in your community that have pro bono and other programs will be of interest to you and enable you to serve the poor in your community. The American Bar Association supports a plethora of pro bono programs. You just go to the ABA website and check that out. And the American Bar Association's Volunteer Legal Project, VLP, was created in 1986 to assist the ABA's lawyer staff in providing their professional obligations before perform pro bono service. Over the years, lawyers have been providing legal services to numerous indigent clients in matters involving bankruptcy, divorce, custody, adoptions, guardianships, public benefits, wills, and other matters. If you're a paralegal or know a paralegal who wants to volunteer to do pro bono, they can also find out from their paralegal organizations how to do that. The ABA's Immigrant Child Advocacy Network is also known as ICANN, connects pro bono attorneys with the tens of thousands of unaccompanied immigrant minor children in America who are scheduled for legal proceedings have no right to appointed counsel or other adults representing the child's interests. Without legal help, these children are unsuccessful in pressing their rights in over 90% of their cases. With the help of a lawyer, these children can prevail most of the time. So that's another way to get involved. The Military Pro Bono Project, unlike the legal services programs that assist veterans, is uniquely focused on providing pro bono services to active duty service members, many of whom remain deployed in areas of conflict. Advocates interested in sharing resources and strategies are welcome to join a COVID-19 legal response listserv available in the National Disaster Legal Aid Advocacy Center. The center also has information on COVID-19 legal response needs, resources and services delivery strategies on national calls for nonprofit legal aid, pro bono, and other advocates. And the National Disaster Legal Aid Advocacy Center welcomes all advocates and volunteers from nonprofit legal organizations, bar students, pro bono counsel from law firms and corporations, law school students and faculty, and allied nonprofits working on disaster legal aid. Just because COVID is not as prevalent as it was when I made this, it's still an issue, and even if it's not COVID, the National Disaster Legal Aid Advocacy Center can help place people to do pro bono work to help victims from fires, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and, of course, flu outbreaks. So if just because COVID is front and center and still an important issue doesn't mean that your services are would be used just for that. You can be part of the National Disaster Legal Aid Advocacy Center for anything, and there's always a need for it because there's always disasters happening across this country. There's a lot of other what I'm bringing up here is a huge laundry list of different organizations that you could be involved in. I'm not going to give a description on all of them because we're running a little bit out of time, so I'll just give their names and you can look them all up relatively easily on the web when you have the opportunity to do so. But there's the ABA Justice Defenders Program, there's the ABA UNDP, International Legal Resource Center. There is the Advocates for International Development, A4ID, the Center for Justice and Accountability, CJA, the Cyrus R. Vance Center for International Justice, the Human Rights Internet, HRI, the International Bar Association Pro Bono, the International Federation of Family Associations of Missing Persons from Armed Conflicts, the International Senior Lawyers Project, LawWorks, Lawyers Without Borders, which is one that a lot of people have heard of, the Mental Disability Advocacy Network, the Mental Disability Advocacy Center, MDAC, the New Tactics in Human Rights, the National Pro Bono Center, PSJD, that's the Public Service Law Network, the Rule of Law Resource Center, and the Thomson Reuters Foundation Trust Law. So, again, there's no shortage of places that are looking for pro bono assistance and ones that are trying to provide that for the community. So, in conclusion, I would like to say that there's always a need for pro bono help in so many areas. I hope that this discussion made it clear that there are a significant number of causes that are available, and that 80% of the overall need is not met and still needs to be met by pro bono representation. All states suggest between 20 to 50 hours a year. And yes, it is a suggestion. And while some states do require reporting, as of this time, California doesn't require a reporting or accounting of those hours, but it's still something that you want to do because you want to be able internally to say that you're giving back to the community and that you are committed to using your legal profession and what you've done to pass the bar for something good. And that knowing that people do need these services, I think it's important for everyone to look within themselves and say, what can I do to help? Because there's such a need, okay? Many firms do have pro bono budgets, so if you are with a law firm, go ahead and make the inquiry to your firm as to what can be provided, what sort of resources they have provided, and who are they working with to provide pro bono cases. The best thing you can do, obviously, for yourself and for your firm is to work within your firm's budget and to align with the causes that your firm has already established. That'll get recognized, of course, by your firm itself, and also you'll be doing something that furthers the mission of your firm within the community. So it kind of has a double reflection as far as that goes. Solos and small firms can still make pro bono productive for them. Again, if you can afford to do the reduced fee concept for them, and that's still going to provide you with some money as opposed to just doing it for free. And if you can find a way to make it to be recognized for what you're doing, having a local impact, small changes can work on a big scale. And I gave some examples earlier of how that can all be effective. Helping under or non-represented attorneys, people who are underrepresented or non-represented by attorneys, makes a big difference in those people's lives. It can change their lives and be able to move them forwards. Plus, it helps improve the image and overall reputation of attorneys, you know, not just locally, but worldwide. You know, the more attorneys can be seen as someone that helps rather than someone that hassles, I think helps the profession tremendously. And most of all, doing this sort of representation should make you feel good. And it should be something that when you know that you were able to help somebody that wasn't able to help themselves, and you used your expertise, your knowledge, and your skill to make somebody's life better legally, you've done something
that makes you a better person. And that is something that, of course, pro bono is not intended to immediately do, but has the ability to when things go the way that you want them to. When you change somebody's life, when you provide them with something that they would not have been provided had you not been there to do that for them, I think it's a wonderful thing. So if anyone has any questions, my contact information is listed with Esquire MCLE. I'd be happy to talk to you about this subject or others that I give for this particular organization. So thank you very much for listening, and everyone have a good day.